Fabulous. Do take a seat. Thanks, guys. Hang on a minute. I just realized. Joy story. If ever there was a joy story, there's one here. Did you hear about the joy story this week? What happened?
We got engaged.
Come on, they got engaged. Congratulations, guys. Pumped for you. Joy story. Well, this is the beginning of our series loosely around the sort of Toy Story imagery, but of course, more importantly, Christmas and all that means. So it's a great day to be in the house. You know, the first Christmas was a real joy story. I mean, put yourself in Mary's boots. It was a joy story. New baby in the house. New family, new birth, new addition. No wonder Mary responded like she did. In Luke chapter 1, we read how Mary responded when she heard she was going to be pregnant and give birth to the Messiah. It says, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name.'" The Holy One has done great things for me. God's done good things for you, church. He's done good things for you. He's saved you. He's called you. He's made you part of his family. And the Christmas story reminds us it's a joyful time. It's a family time. But as I thought about this, the first Christmas story, it was also a joy story for everyone who was waiting for the Messiah. You know, the Jews in those days were waiting. They were waiting for this Messiah figure, the Savior that would come. There was a prophetic expectation that had been announced and prophesied right the way through the Old Testament. And eventually, we get to Luke chapter 2 where, remember the shepherds? The shepherds who are just sort of watching life go by. And it says in Luke 2 verse 18, "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." That doesn't sound like joy at that stage. They were terrified. "But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" Joy was coming. This was going to be a joy story for all those waiting for the Messiah. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." What joy! What amazement! Now, Mary's response was one of joy. "My soul magnifies the Lord." The shepherds, after they'd been told, "This is good news, the Messiah's coming," it was, "Wow, we've got to tell someone about this." And it tumbled out of them, stories of joy. And we could add to them people like the three wise men and other people that interacted with the baby Jesus. You know, as was the custom of the day within Judaism, they took Jesus to the temple when he was a baby. And there were two guys called Simeon and Anna who'd been given a word from God that they would not die until they'd seen the Messiah. And on that particular day, they realize this is being fulfilled. And what's their response? Well, Luke 2:36 says, "It had been revealed to him," that's Simeon, "by the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. So moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Everything linked to the coming of Christ at Christmas, whether it's the family themselves, Mary and Joseph, whether it's the shepherds that get a glimpse of that heavenly angelic choir, whether it's Simeon and Anna in the temple, whether it's the wise men that turn up with the gifts, everybody gets a tinge of joy, a joy story. And all this points to a bigger truth, which is that Christmas is actually a joy story for the whole world. It really is. It's a joy story for the whole world, for your world and for my world. Just as the angels had said, did you catch that line in chapter 2, verse 10? The angels said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. All the people. Right at its heart, Christmas is a joy bringer. I don't know what it's bringing in your family, but some of you might be depressed about Christmas. Think, oh, Christmas is a debt bringer. Christmas is it's a concern. It's a stress bringer. Christmas brings all this other baggage. Well, I want us to strip away all the commercial nonsense. Strip away all the, I've got to keep up with the Joneses and getting bigger presents. Strip it all away and get back to the centrality, which is, it's all about Jesus. Even Christmas is hashtag Jesus first. Really is. It's a joy story. It's his life right at the heart of it. Not a fleeting, frivolous joy, but a life-changing joy, a deep, lasting joy that becomes an inner strength which allows you to press through trial and tribulation and through difficult times, as well as crowning your joyful times with incredible life and energy. And the best news is that it's a joy story for you today. If you've come in here and you're not familiar with us as a community, or you don't know many people here, that's all right. Feel at home. It's a joy story for you that we've got to tell today. And the best news, I think, is that it's not just a joy story for you. It's a joy bringer to others through you. Now, my kids used to be like, you know, can I have this, and can I have this, and can I have this, and can I have this? And they're looking to the parent to bring joy to them through the gifts. Well, God the Father brought the ultimate joy to his children by giving them the ultimate gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. But how much better now a generation on, when it's my grandchildren who are saying, Granddad, get me this, Granddad, get me that. Their parents are able to be the conduit. It's far more joy-bringing to be the passer-on of the life than it is just to be the receiver of it. And whether you're in here today and you need to receive the joy for the first time, or you need to be someone who's just commits afresh today to say, I'm going to be a joy-bringer. The joy story in this season for me is to spread the word about Jesus Christ. So we're going to be exploring the joy story over these next few weeks as we work towards Christmas. And different members of our communication team are going to be helping us do that. So you're ready for the first part? This morning we've got a very special gentleman who's going to come and share with you. Most of you will know him. It's Andy Taylor. Come on, Andy.
Thanks, Steve. Morning. Good morning. Well, it's December. Wow. Where did that come from? I'm still in January somewhere or other, but it's December already. Okay, so I want some participation this morning. So who has done all the Christmas shopping? Put your hand up. Wow, well done. Keep your hand up if you've also wrapped all the presents. Wow, that's unbelievable. Put your hand up if you do all your Christmas shopping on December the 24th. That'll be me. I can see you at the back. Very good. Very honest. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. You know, this morning we're talking about Joy's story. I just want to bring you for a few minutes this morning something around what I want to call the joy of belonging. The joy of belonging. And you know, just before we delve into that a little bit, I just want to put into context a little bit about what belonging means to us in 2019. You know, because for many people, around Christmas time, you know, we start getting together with family and friends, and there's parties, and we're forever going places. And so this thought of belonging, this idea of belonging, comes to the forefront of our minds. But, you know, for those who suffer with loneliness, you know, actually Christmas is quite a difficult time. Probably the most difficult time of the year, because a lack of belonging also brings its own issues. And I was looking at something the other day. I just want to give you a little bit of context, look at some statistics. Not to depress you, not to bring you down, because we're talking about the joy of belonging, but just to give you some context, because God's not afraid of reality. Who knows that? So a couple of stats here for you. So it says 500,000 older people go at least 5 or 6 days a week without speaking to or seeing anybody. 500,000 older people. And 2/5 of older people say the TV is their main source of company. But it's not just older people, you know, loneliness affects. There was a study by the Co-op and the Red Cross that said, you know, over 9 million people in the UK, that's more than the population of London, of all adult ages, are either always or often lonely. And you might say, well, okay, what's so bad about that? What's so bad about loneliness? Well, actually, I didn't realize this, but there's actually some pretty serious health implications from it. And I was reading on in this article, it was saying, you know, loneliness, living alone, and poor social connection is as bad for you, it's as bad for your health, as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. 15 cigarettes a day. And apparently, it's actually worse for you than obesity. But why is that? Why is that? Because it's because belonging, the need for belonging, is right in the center of who we are as human beings. There's a motivational theory that some of you will know, some of you will know far better than me, and it's called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. And it's a bit of a triangle sort of thing. It's a pyramid. And basically, the principle of this hierarchy is that you start at the bottom with your most fundamental needs, and until you've met those, you can't move on to the next stage of the pyramid. And the first couple of rungs on the ladder, if you want to call it that, are our physiological needs, so food and shelter and water, and then it goes to safety, so our personal safety, perhaps job security, those kind of things. And straight after that is love and belongingness. That's the third rung on the ladder, because it's one of our most fundamental needs, because we've got an inherent desire, inherent need to be part of something bigger than ourselves, to have connection with other people. And you know, God knew this from the beginning. That's the incredible thing. You know, right back in Genesis, if you look back in the beginning of Genesis, when God's creating human beings and he creates Adam, and one of the first things he said is, it's not good for him to be alone. It's not good for him to be alone. So he creates Eve so that they can work together, they can be together, and they can belong together. Because it's not good for us to be alone. We were built for connection. We were built for belonging. Because the very basis of God creating human beings was for relationship. For relationship with him and for relationship with other people. So belonging is really important, and God has a lot to say about it. So we're going to look at a few things that God has to say about belonging this morning, but what I also want to do is I want to have a look at belonging through the eyes of a couple of characters called Andy and Woody. Andy and Woody. So if anybody have ever seen Toy Story, put your hands up. Okay, so I might need to do a little bit of education. So we're going to have a picture of Andy and Woody on the screen for those of you on the podcast, apologies. Andy is a young boy. There he is. And Woody is his toy cowboy. It's his favorite toy. Well, he is at the start of the film anyway. It's his favorite toy. The whole plot of the Toy Story films is is about Woody and his toy friends. And when the human beings are around, they come alive, like your toys do. And they have loads of adventures and scrapes, and they get into danger, and eventually they get back. But more than that, actually, it's a story that these toys actually absolutely love Andy. Well, who wouldn't love an Andy? It's so easy to love an Andy, isn't it? But they all love Andy, and they love being played with him, and they're fighting over who's his favourite and all that kind of stuff. And so that's the context of it. But actually, there's another Andy and Woody I want to introduce you to this morning. We're going to have another picture up on the screen, and here they are. So that is Andy and Woody. What a handsome chap, lustrous hair, very cute, and the dog's not bad either. So again, for those of you on the podcast, this is a picture of me and our family dog. He's called Woody. He's 4 years old. He is a rough collie. He looks like Lassie. Everybody thinks he's a girl. He's a bit of a diva, actually, so he doesn't like going on polished floors because he might slip. And he'll get upstairs fine, but you try getting him down, it's impossible. He has to be given explicit permission to come down the stairs. But Woody is a real family animal. You know, he's got a heightened sense of looking after people. He's always wanting to herd us. He's always running around us. He's always looking after us. He's a great dog. So that's Andy and Woody, the two lots of Andy and Woody. We'll come back to them in a minute. So there's three things I want us to consider this morning. Three aspects, three things that God says about us and belonging that we want to look at this morning. And the first one of those, and we heard it in that last song, I specifically asked for that song, is that we're chosen. We're chosen. We're going to read from a passage in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says this: "For you are a chosen people, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people. Now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy." If we can have the next couple of pictures up, you can just rotate them if you like. Next couple of photos. Okay, so this is a picture of Woody the dog when he was a lot smaller than he is today. And if anybody knows my wife, Siobhan, they'll know when she does research, she really goes for it. So when we were looking for a dog, she researched the breeds until there was no more research to be done. She wanted a dog that would fit right in with our family, so she researched the breeds. Then she researched the breeder, because there's lots of dodgy breeders out there. We want to make sure the breeder was right. And then when we'd found the right breed and the right breeder, you know, we went along to the house to see the breeder because there was this litter of puppies, because we didn't want one of the puppies that wouldn't fit in with us. So we played with them. That was just an excuse. There were four or five of them. We played with them until we found one that we really thought would fit him. You know, the point there is we didn't just choose any old random dog. We chose him specifically. You know, and back to the Toy Story film, Andy, his favorite toy is Woody. He takes him everywhere. He takes him in the car. He takes him to bed. It's the first toy that he chooses every time he goes to his toy box. And, you know, we can be quite picky, but God's a lot more picky than we are. You know, he hasn't chosen us randomly or just accepted us grudgingly. Anybody remember the playground when you're there and somebody's picking teams? And there's a line of people there, and there's two people picking teams, whether it's rounders or football or whatever it is. And they first start off with the really good players, and they work their way through until they get to the kid with the two left feet. That's normally me. Right at the end. You know, God's not like that. You're his first pick. You're his first pick. He's chosen you specifically. He's chosen you very specifically. You know, it says, We are his very own possession. That speaks of something really precious. Something really precious. Can you imagine? God's got the whole universe to play with, and you're his very own possession. So this morning, we've been chosen specifically. But notice something else from that scripture. You know, he's chosen us, and Steve mentioned it earlier on. He's chosen us not just for ourselves, but for others. It says, so that we can show the goodness of God to others. You know, any time, but particularly at Christmas, we've got that opportunity to pay forward what God has put into us. As Steve said, God puts his joy to us so he can get it through us. So, we've been chosen. And secondly, we've been called by name. We've been called by name. Okay, can we have the next photo up there, guys? Please. Okay, so again, this is a bit of a close-up of Woody when he was a puppy. And when we got there and we decided which puppy we were going to have, we looked at him and we thought, if you can see, he's actually got a couple of rings under his eyes. So for about half a day, he was called Ringo. And we went home singing, Ringo was his name, oh, da-da-da, and all that kind of stuff. But it didn't seem right, it didn't stick, it didn't really suit him. So we changed it. And actually, true story, I normally get to name the pets. We're not good with pets. Actually, don't give us fish, because they'll die. We're terrible with pets. This is the only pet that I'm hoping is okay. Is he okay? This is the only pet we've kept for more than a couple of years, and because we normally kill them. Yes. And I was thinking about this relationship between Andy and Woody in Toy Story, and I thought, well, I'm Andy, so you can be Woody. And that stuck. It stuck with him. You know, this morning, God's calling you by name. He's calling you by name. There's something very personal, very powerful about our name being used. You ever heard of your name in a crowd? I often hear it because there's loads of Andy. Somebody shouts Andy, I immediately turn around. It's similar to somebody shouting Dad. I do that as well. I respond to Dad. It doesn't matter whose dad it is, I'll just respond to it. God's calling you by name. You know, Woody knows his name. He knows when I'm shouting it, when he's being good and when he's not being good. Because God's calling you into belonging. You know, you may not have been aware of that previously. You might have thought, you know, God's somewhere out there. He's not interested in me. But God knows you. He knows you personally. In fact, it says in the Bible, he created you. He formed you. He knew you before you were born. Actually, he knows you better than you know yourself. So he's calling you into a relationship. And you might think, you know, God could never speak to me. But God spoke to me when I was 14 years old, very clearly, and said, I love you. I want a relationship with you. My prayer this morning is, if you don't know God this morning, I pray that you would hear him speaking to you through your spirit. Something may be stirring inside you saying, you know what, this is for me. God's calling you personally. You know, and there's a picture going to come up in a second. Something really stuck with me with this Toy Story story. Can we just have that next photo up, guys? And eventually this happens to quite a few of the other toys as well. But Woody has Andy's name written on him. He's actually got it on his boot, on the bottom of his boot, because Andy has marked him out as his. He's put his own name on him because he says, you're mine. I'm going to mark you out as mine. And God's done that with us as well. And every time Woody gets lonely or he gets in a sticky situation, he can always look at the bottom of his boot and realize that he belongs to Andy. And God said, you are mine. I've marked you out with the love and the mercy that I want to bestow on you. And there was something else. I just thought, God, you know, God has a beautiful symmetry about some stuff. And I'm not gonna put this scripture on the screen. But there's something in Isaiah 49. And it talks about God having our name written on his hands. It talks about God having our name written on his hands. And I thought, what a fantastic picture. You know, every time God looks at his hands, he thinks of you. Every time God looks at his hands, he remembers you. You're chosen. You're not forsaken. Every time he looks at his hands, he thinks of you. And do you know why that is? Because when Jesus looks at his hands, he sees the nail prints still there. The nail prints are still there from when he was nailed to the cross. So when he looks at his hands, he thinks of you and he remembers you. You're chosen. You're not forsaken. Okay. So lastly, we're chosen. We're called by name. This has been mentioned a couple of times this morning as well. Can we have the next photo up, guys? And we're adopted. We're adopted. So, can we have the next photo up? Sorry, guys. Thanks. So this is a photo of Woody with his adopted human family. They're somewhere in Whitby. And you can see on the right there, there's another dog. That's his cousin Teddy, his brother from another mother. He's a husky, and when they get together, it's quite interesting. So Woody's telling everybody somebody's stuck down the well, and Teddy's howling at the moon. So it's quite an interesting mixture. But they love each other. They're great. But you know what? Woody's clearly not a blood relative. You don't have to be a genius to work that out. But he absolutely acts and thinks like he is. We've had him since he was so small. He thinks he's human. He thinks he's human. He thinks he's part of the family. And he acts like he is. You know, it's really weird. You can be anywhere in the house. Anywhere at all. You can be the opposite end of the house to Woody. If you sneeze, he will find you. He will run. So if I'm downstairs and he's upstairs and I sneeze, you can hear his feet coming down the stairs. That's the one time he does come down the stairs without permission. Coming down the stairs to come and find you because he's concerned about you. He wants to be in the middle of everything. He wants to care for everybody. He treats the kids like they're his siblings. He's afraid of Siobhan. I'm afraid of Siobhan. It's only natural. But he feels like he's been... He doesn't even feel like he's been adopted, but he has. He feels like he's part of the family. You know, but he doesn't have the same rights and privileges as the kids. He doesn't get to borrow cash or clothes or the car. Nobody gets to borrow the car, by the way. Just me. I get the car. But God's... And that's exactly what God's done with us. You know, there's a scripture in Romans chapter 8 that's going to come up on the screen. And it says this, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirits when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba," and that means daddy, father. You know, the only difference with Woody is while we might make him feel part of the family, you know, he doesn't have those rights and relationships, but God has said, you're one of his very own children. You're adopted into his family. Like you'd been his kids all along. You're not forsaken. You're chosen. You're called. You're adopted. And I'm going to finish in a second, but just before I do, I was just thinking about that Christmas joy story of Jesus being born. And again, a beautiful symmetry in what God does. You know, when we look closer at that, God hasn't just said that we belong. You know, he made himself an outsider so that you could belong. He made himself an outsider so that you could belong. The Son of God born not in a palace, but a dirty, smelly stable in the back of beyond, laid in an animal's trough instead of a bed, forced to flee as a refugee instead of being honored and celebrated as the Messiah that he was. Rejected by his own people, persecuted, pursued by the religious authorities of the day. And you know what? He didn't choose to associate with the rich and the powerful. He went to the poor and the broken and the lonely and the outcast and the people that everybody else would cross the street to avoid. And then finally, the only human ever to live a perfect life was crucified for something he didn't do, so that you and me could belong. And still, when he looks at his hands, he thinks of us. You know, you might feel like an outsider this morning. You say, look, I don't belong. I don't feel like I belong, but God says you are. He says you're chosen. He says you're his very own possession. He says he's called you by name. He says he's, your name is written on his hands. And when you receive him, you're adopted into his family. And for the rest of us, you know, the joy isn't just for us. It's so we can show others the goodness of God. Let's be agents of that good news, of that joy story, so that other people can know that Jesus, who was born at Christmas, became an outsider so that they can belong. We belong to him. What an incredible joy story this Christmas. And Steve's going to come back in a second, but just before he does, I just want to leave you with something that I found, a little montage, which I think sums things up really well. Thank you.
What a declaration that is. Eh? What a declaration. I belong to you. It's a declaration of faith. Faith means daring to believe what God says. And he says, you're chosen. He says, you're mine. If you put your trust in me, you're part of my family. I belong to you. It's this declaration of faith and belonging that every Christian in the world makes. And knowing we belong to God and his family is the ultimate joy story. You know, reflecting on the Christmas story, if you think about it, it's actually driven by belonging. Why were Mary and Joseph even in Bethlehem? Because that's where they belonged. That's where their hometown was. That took them on the journey back there. But of course, when they got there, there was no room for them. And the innkeeper opens the stable and allows them to use the manger and the stable and so on as their lodgings. It's a profound illustration. That the search for belonging, even when you go back to your roots, ultimately, you need someone who will invite you in. Jesus was invited to be born in that manger, in that stable. Well, the joy of Christmas is found when you give Jesus a place of belonging, like that innkeeper did. When you recognize there's been a journey, these people have come, and they've come home, they're trying to find home, because this is where they belong, it's Bethlehem. But someone opened their heart and gave them a place of belonging. Jesus is looking for a place of belonging in each and every heart. He dwells in people these days by his Holy Spirit. You know, maybe you've heard us say things like, you know, Andy referenced it. He said, you know, God spoke to me. Through this service today, you've got the impression that we have a personal relationship with God. He speaks to us in our hearts, through his word, the Bible, through his other Christian people. And we become attuned to realize God speaks. And there's a little verse in Revelation where Jesus actually is speaking, and he says, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. Come on, I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. The ultimate joy story this Christmas would be if you opened your heart, opened the door of your life and said, Jesus, come on in. He would be where he belongs because he made you to have a relationship with him. And you would be where you belong. Back in relationship with him and back in his family. So I wonder, will you choose to give Jesus a place of belonging in your heart today so you can find that ultimate place, the ultimate joy of belonging in his family? If you do, you can walk out of here today a true joy story. You can walk out of here today with the refrain of that song we just heard ringing in your ears. I belong to you. Ancient of Days, that's one of the Bible descriptions of God. I belong to you. And you find your eternal security and peace and belonging in that declaration. Let's just bow our heads.